16-0-2 in their last 18. It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. What a night it was last night at Bridgestone Arena. Unbelievable evening for the Nashville Predators. Down 4-1 at one point. Final score, Nashville 5, Vegas 4, the overtime winner. The streak continues. Unbelievable comeback win. And Joe, I think you had the tweet of the night. I see, you know, everybody's Twitter feed's blowing up because of
what's up, man?
The game. What's up? And I just see from you, oh my Lord, oh my Lord, oh my Lord.
Well, I got to tell you, last night, for those that didn't watch on TV and driving around, and let me tell you what, Pete Weber, that was fantastic. Listening to Pete Weber call the game last night, it was fantastic. Preds down 4-1, 4-2, and he keeps, you know, what was the goal that they challenged, Vegas challenged?
Yeah, the offsides goal, which with Forsberg.
Okay,
his 40th of the year.
So Pete was beautiful with this. Pete just let the drama build. They didn't go on and say, that's good, that's bad. You hear the crowd. They play what, Let It Be, I guess, on the PA.
Yeah, they do that on reviews, yeah. Which is awesome.
So it was fantastic. So Pete just let it build. And then the referee came back and said, it's a good goal. Crowd goes crazy. They win last night. Pete Weber last night was a master in sports broadcasting play-by-play. It was fantastic.
Well, he's done this a time or two.
He has. It was great, man.
What's going to be cool about this is we have a loaded show today. Ryan O'Reilly is going to join us at 9:15. They are about to head to Phoenix for their next game, but he's going to join us before they get on the plane. So we need to come up with a message that he needs to take to the rest of his team when he gets on the plane.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
You know, that from the Chase and Big Joe show, he can deliver.
Oh, God. Remember when I asked Roman Yossi tennis questions? That didn't go over well, so we'll –
Well, you had the country wrong, so that was a problem.
So terrible.
You know.
Maybe that was a catalyst.
Sweden, Switzerland.
Maybe Yossi went back and said, look, if we keep winning, we don't have to go on this bozo show. We'll be fine and do that. Maybe that's it.
You're right. John McClain going to join us as usual at 9:30.
Right.
10:30 in studio, speaking of legendary play-by-play, who's also called some Preds games before, Eli Gold.
Man.
Going to join us.
Well, how do we shouldn't be here.
I'm just going to warn everybody right now, I'm going to ask him to tell me a Dale Earnhardt story.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's so long in NASCAR.
Oh, he was.
But do we have it? Are we ready? If you missed Pete Weber putting on his masterclass last night, this was the final call.
Holding, coming out, being watched very closely by Theodore. They give the puck back now to Yossi, cutting in. He scores! Roman Yossi scores! And the Predators now are 18 games into an unbeaten streak. Oh, my. 5-4 the final.
It's about time to cue up the Go Ape, everybody.
Yeah, right?
But I think we're in that point. But just... awesome call. Willie had a tremendous call on TV. I was watching on TV. I had this moment. I was telling Dr. Crane this before the show. I had a lot to do yesterday, suit wise, right? And so I was doing different things. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to work late. And so I was in the office until 6:30, 7 o'clock, something like that. I'm not going to go to the game.
Grind.
I'm just going to watch.
Okay.
Just going to watch it on TV. And when they started the comeback, I'm like, son of a gun. Why didn't I go to this game?
Well, you know, it's weird. When they got down 3-0, I was like, because isn't that the thing? You know, we've talked to all these hockey guys. If they're down 3-0, it's like, all right, time to come back.
Yeah, oh, yeah. A three-goal lead is the most dangerous lead in
right?
Hockey.
So I'm thinking, all right. And then, you know, 4-1, 4-2, 4-3, and then back. And hear Pete's call right there last night. So, I mean, this is the damnedest thing. I mean, it's 16-0-2. What's the NHL record for this?
It's pretty...
I believe it's like 28 or 35.
Yeah.
But was that like 1937 when there were six teams? I want to know what it's been like the last 25 years.
I'll look it up real quick.
Well, you know, it's mid-80s when Gretzky hit and then mid-80s and all that because this is amazing. I mean, that's 16-0-2. They've not lost in regulation since that Dallas game. I mean, I don't have words to put it. I've never seen this in this town. Never.
I'll be the first to tell you. I texted Ricky last night. I'm like, think this might be an L for the Preds tonight. because the way they opened the game and played. Well, maybe it was the reverse jinx, Joe. Have you ever thought about that?
How dare you do that?
But I mean, like, I think I'm not the only one that thought that.
Same here. I was like, when they got down 3-0, I was like, yeah, there's that comeback that everybody talks about. But it's so, you know, and here's how stupid I am. I'm thinking, it's okay they lose tonight. They played well. It's like when my son gets a D in class, he's got other A's. It's okay if you get a D. You know, you've worked hard.
Yeah, what's the kind of rationalization?
Terrible mind thinking. Terrible last night. But anyway, now they go to Arizona and take that team that's always been a thorn in their side. And then Saturday to Colorado.
Yep. Oh, man. Eric in Cookeville says, thanks so much for the tickets. The game was spectacular. We had several winners. That was the funny thing. We, for like 5 straight days, gave away tickets to that game. Yep. So if you want tickets from us, send the check. No, I'm just kidding. Glad you had a good time.
Send the check.
Yeah. Glad you had a good time.
I got a car payment, dude.
But just an unbelievable atmosphere. I mean, and it's funny. I didn't even see Matt's text. He said, will you please play Pete Weber's radio call of the overtime goal last night? I didn't get to listen to it.
Do it again, Dr. Crane. Drop it, whatever.
Coming out, being watched very closely by Theodore. They give the puck back now to Yossi, cutting in. He scores! Roman Yossi scores! And the Predators now are 18 games into an unbeaten streak. Oh, my. 5-4 the final.
Oh, my, indeed. It's 35 games, Big Joe. The Flyers did it.
What year?
I don't know the year, but Al says
1944.
Does that call not give you guys goosebumps?
No,
I'm just sitting here
I'm just going to say this as the suit. I'm decreeing. I need to hear that like 25 more times throughout the day on this radio.
You
look,
you got it.
You just drop it whenever you want to.
1979, 1980, Joe, for the Flyers.
Okay, we'll give it to him. That's because you go back and look at Chase McCabe in 1888 to 1894 had 678 shutouts. You know, back then it was sports writers like, hey, Chase, did you pitch last week? You're like, yeah, I got 14 shutouts.
Right.
Oh, Chase had 14 shutouts last week. So I like the ones now where it's like the modern era that we talk about so much. So good for them.
I'm gonna encourage something else, too, because I did this on TV the other night.
Bathing?
All the U2 puns are welcome.
Oh, sure.
Like Kimberly just said on Twitter, they are making every day a beautiful day. Okay.
They are.
Like I said... You know, this has been an awesome streak, but they still haven't found what they've been looking for.
Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you right now, they're playing with a lot of desire.
They're going where the streets have no name.
Oh, man. And they're playing in God's country.
They are. Looking for the Joshua Tree. That's an album, but we'll go
there. All right, though. In God's Country was never hit the radio, but it's a fantastic song.
Joe, if you want the most, I guess, the latest point streak in the 2010s was 2013 with the Chicago Blackhawks with 24.
So they've surpassed that now.
No.
You said 13, right?
No, 24 is the 24. Record.
Oh, 24.
Yeah,
okay.
In 2013, excuse me.
I bet. Sorry, I pay attention to you, Dr. Crane.
You both pay
Boss
attention.
Boss man does. He's got 8 screens over there.
No, just one today.
Just one. Thing.
Oh, you do? Just yeah. Okay,
just
my
got
bad.
The one.
Yeah.
So trying to limit the screen time.
So do we have Ryan O'Reilly?
Yes, the Factor will join us at 9:15.
Why do we call him the Factor?
O'Reilly Factor.
Yeah. I'm sure he doesn't like that.
No, apparently it came with him from St. Louis.
Oh, so. Okay. All right. Well, that's good then.
But, I mean, like, I don't remember. And we've been a pro, you know, we've been a major league sports town for 25 years with the Titans and the Preds. I mean, obviously that run to the Super Bowl by the Titans in 1999 was pretty spectacular. But it wasn't. The fan base was still building. It was still new. None of us knew how to act and what to do. And, I mean, maybe we still don't. But, you know, can you remember a run like this in Nashville where it's just like, holy cow?
Yes. 2008 Titans went 10-0.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
But it was like, all right, we've been here before. That's kind of
– And, look, 2017, you know, in the playoffs and the run to the Cup, that obviously – is still the number one. But
sure.
Like I think what I mean by this is and that was pretty unbelievable too, but you got to a point where you believe like this one is just like they canceled a concert. Like that's what it was.
It's the one of the best stories ever.
They were playing like this is a book. Like they're gonna make a movie about that. That's like where you are with this of like They played like crap. The coach and the GM got pissed off and said, you're going to play better. They canceled the concert. Then the team got pissed off, and they didn't lose again.
Well, because in this day and age, we haven't heard this story before. What team has done that?
Right.
I mean, a team goes 0-6 in the NFL. It's like, oh, you're not going to be able to do this. They're like, oh, screw you. We'll do whatever we want to do. This has never been talked. Give me an instance where a professional team has canceled a trip, and they've gone on this run. I don't think there is one. Is there? There's not one.
No.
That have done this, and they stepped in. This is stuff you see in travel ball with your 8-year-old team. Like, no ice cream because you guys got beat by the Cubs 4-2 and we've lost 10 straight. These are grown professional athletes. When the head coach and the GM came in and said, you're not going to go. This is about winning games, and you guys are playing like garbage right now.
Right.
And it's fantastic.
And it is the, you know, Barry Trotz, after he won the Stanley Cup in Washington, told the story that Alex Ovechkin had missed a meeting, and so he scratched him for that night. Because the rule was, if you miss the morning meeting, you don't play that night. Best player on the team. They lost the game. But he said, we don't win the Stanley Cup if I don't do that. Because it sets the tone. Yeah. It sets the example that nobody's above the team. That's exactly what they did here. And we'll see what ends up happening. Ryan O'Reilly going to join us next. They get ready to head to Phoenix, continue this run. 16-0-2 after the win last night at Bridgestone Arena. We'll talk to The Factor next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Nyquist takes the puck out of the faceoff circle, goes down, centers it, came right in front, and sent home by Ryan O'Reilly. O'Reilly gets the Predators on the board for a second time. They now trail by two with 14.08 to go.
That's part of the comeback. Last night, Pete Weber on the call. Predators win it 5-4 in overtime at Bridgestone Arena. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you. On this Wednesday, let's bring in Ryan O'Reilly, who joins us now. I believe he's probably on the way to the airport or already there as they get ready to hit the road. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, just on my way to the airport right now.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be a good mood once you get on that plane. Last night was fantastic. I know that not ideal start for you guys, trailing 3-0, then eventually 4-1, but what were the conversations like during those intermissions, knowing that you got a full 60, you're going to get some extra time, as we would find out, but not to give up, because it's been a while since you guys have been behind like that?
Yeah, I was very impressed. Just, I think the whole room was, you know, positive. You know, everyone was kind of obviously disappointed, you know, being down, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like the game was over, or, you know, guys kind of going rogue, or, you know, the energy I think was still very good, and the way guys were talking, it was, hey, let's get back to us, you know, let's, you know, these guys played last night, you know, let's wear them down, and, you know, we get one, we'll get back into this. And in between the second and third, it was just, you know, we obviously get a big goal there, and then they get one late in the second, which kind of, you think would take a little wind out of our sails, but even coach came in, was positive, just, hey, we're playing great, you know, they're, again, let's just stay on them here, let's stay on, we get one, we'll make a game of it. And, you know, that's what happened. We stuck with it. Got a big goal there that, you know, got us closer. And then obviously it just, you kind of feel kind of the momentum kind of heading our way. And then obviously, you know, a big, big comeback there. It was good.
So when you guys get into overtime, you know that you have all the momentum on your side. What are you trying to create in overtime? And ultimately, how did things get set up for Josi to be in position to make that play?
Yeah, well, for me, it's when you're on the ice with Josi and Forsberg, it's pretty much, you know, get them the puck and get out of their way. I kind of feel like that's my my job with, you know, how many, you know, goals Phil scored in overtime. And Josi is obviously on fire and so dynamic. So, yeah, I pretty much try to just get some motion, get them the puck, and hopefully open a lane. And obviously a beautiful play by Josi to, you know, great deception, but then, you know, takes a wide and brings it back to the house with the power move was amazing. And just that, like, that feeling in the building. I haven't played a playoff game yet in Nashville, but I was going to say that's probably pretty darn close to the how loud it was and the excitement and, you know, just having the fans just, you know, that energy, that, you know, the cheering. It was pretty cool to be a part of.
Talking to Ryan O'Reilly this morning on the Chase and Big Show, Big Joe Show. And Ryan, you know, 16-0-2, last 18 games. Have you processed that yet? Because, like, you're in the bubble. We're outside. We're loving it. The fans are loving it. But has it hit you guys yet, what you guys are doing?
I know it's funny. We're down 3, 3-1 there. 4-1. You're kind of thinking like, oh, maybe this is it. But, knowing our group and just how resilient we've been, it's crazy to keep extending it. And it's a crazy record, but it's funny. Like, we don't really have the luxury of, with how tight this race is and trying to get into playoffs, you don't have the luxury of taking a night off. It's a big win. We feel great about it, but it's always on to the next. And, we're trying to prepare a game for playoffs and to get in there. So we know it's something special, and, it's crazy what we've done, but again, we got to keep going. We got to keep building our game because it's not going to get any easier.
Have you heard from friends like text messaging or like, Ryan, what in the world is going on? I'm sure you've got messages like that, people outside of Nashville, like, man, what's going on in Nashville?
Oh yeah, plenty of people. It's great to hear though. I think from the start of the year with, the new coaching staff, the new system, a lot of new faces, we come out of the gates, we struggle quite a bit, struggling to kind of grasp the system and kind of, be a team. And, I thought we've done an amazing job of working so hard, everyone, and, everyone, coaching staff, staying patient with us and keep teaching us. And then we finally, things start to click and we start to buy in and it comes and, we've turned into a good team, and I think we're on our way to being a great team, and it's just so fun. But yeah, definitely the friends and family are just like we're making some noise around the league right now, which is great to be a part of. I think we have Nashville's it's not the biggest market in the league, but we're sure putting ourselves on the map this year, and it's we're just getting going.
It's not the biggest, Ryan, but damn it, it's the best. I want to ask you, you said you haven't played in a playoff atmosphere here, obviously, because you haven't played for the Preds until it made the playoffs, but tell me the how loud it was last night and just the electricity when you guys started coming back 4-1, 4-2, 4-3. Could you feel that on the ice last night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was, it was electric. And, that's probably one of the loudest I've ever heard, a regular season game. In all my years, it's what, my 15th season in the league. And, yeah, I don't think I've heard a home crowd like that ever in my time in the league. It had that playoff atmosphere, that the way of the intensity of the fans, and that last kind of TV timeout. You look around, everyone's on their feet. It was, it's something so cool. It was nice to kind of get a taste of what it's going to be like.
Ryan O'Reilly is with us here on the Chasing Big Joe show. You made us laugh last night when you mentioned playing with the Swedish Meatballs with Philip Forsberg and Gus Nyquist. Phil gets 40, you get 25, Gus gets 20. Pretty impressive what you three have been able to do together.
Yeah, gosh, I've these guys are making me look good. They're so much fun to play with. And, Gus is such a smart player out there, reads the game so well and so deceptive with his speed and little plays. And obviously Phil is just, he's a wizard out there. The stuff he does sometimes, you're like, what the heck was that? It's amazing just the way, both of them play. And I feel like we work well together. Even if we're not scoring, I think we're playing hard to, being hard to play against and, being tough against top lines. And then when you get the puck, it's go time. We have fun with it. So definitely guys, I love playing with two guys that work so hard too. And it's been a good line, and we have to keep getting better and keep rolling.
You were brought in by Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette because of your experience, and obviously winning the cup with St. Louis and all the playoff experience that you have had. How have you used some of the experience that you had in 2019, the run that you guys went on, and things weren't going well in the beginning of the season? Have you applied some of that to now? Some things that you remember? We'll see what the result is at the end of the year, but just some of the things you went through that season with that team, have you applied that to now?
Absolutely. I think, at different times, saying the right things or the things I think that are best to helping us become a better team. And so that's conversations with coaching staff or just communicating with, guys on the bench of, being in uncomfortable situations and kind of more leaning into it. But I try to use that experience as much as I can. And, I think every team's different and, every team's got to find their own way to have success. But, definitely I, being through that, I feel comfortable in, you know, a lot of situations that I think, you know, that's where I try to lead. I try to have confidence in them and try to be vocal and kind of try to pull guys along if, you know, I see something that, you know, guys struggling in a certain way. So it's, yeah, I try to use that experience.
Ryan, you're about to get on the plane. Do you have a whole row to yourself or do you have to share it with somebody?
No, I play cards. It's me and Yost versus Evangelista Nyquist, and it's not going so well this year. Me and Yost have been struggling a bit at the card table, but we got a long flight here. We're kind of hoping we can maybe get a few bucks back, but no, it's we have some fun though playing.
Oh, that's good, Dan.
Man, I've heard Yossi's pretty good though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's smart. He's a smart guy. But, you know, Nyquist, he's pretty smart, too. He kind of gets in my head a little bit. It kind of frustrates me.
Please tell me it's not. Go ahead.
Don't tell him I said that.
But, yeah. What's the card game? Is it Uno? What is it?
I don't even know the name of it. It's a Swiss banking game. And it's crazy. It's like, I couldn't even explain it to you. It's just like, it's 10 different games in one. And yeah, next time you guys talk to Yost, ask him to break it down for you. It took me about 3 weeks to even understand it. And I'm still learning, but it's definitely a cool game. There's a lot of games within the game. And it's, I don't know, you're going to have to ask him to give you a thorough description of it.
Well, Ryan, good luck on that. Obviously, good luck on the road trip as well. Please pass along our congratulations and our good luck to the rest of the team when you get on the plane. And we will talk to you soon. It's been a fun ride, and hopefully it continues.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Nice chatting with you. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Ryan O'Reilly joining us here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. The win last night, 5-4 in overtime. His goal was huge.
Yeah.
You know, just I'm sure there's going to be T-shirts. Factor in the Swedish meatballs. That's the line now. I mean, that's what he referred to Philip Forsberg and Gus Nyquist last night. This team's got some magic right now. There's no way other way to put it.
And we're going to claim him as one of our best friends.
Yeah. No,
nice
yeah.
chatting with you. Come on. Nobody says that.
We're buddies now. Right. We're buddies. So. I know that Willie's listening right now as he's on the plane. So please go tell Ryan that he's our best friend, and we appreciate it. So there you go. The Predators will be back at it tomorrow here as they go to Arizona. They're going to play in the small arena, so it should be a lot of fun. Coming up next, we shift gears. We go into football. John McClain from Houston will join us next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe here on this Wednesday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Appreciate Ryan O'Reilly for joining the show. Now we say hello to John McClain, who we talk to every Wednesday at 9:30. John, good morning. How are you?
Guys, I couldn't be better. I can't remember a time when there were more teams in Houston sports who had things going on. University of Houston, Sweet 16, fifth year in a row. The Rockets have been one of the two worst teams in the NBA the last 3 years. They've won 9 in a row. They won half a game behind Golden State in the play-in game. And the Astros started with the Yankees 4 consecutive games to open the season. And when Nashville gets that first expansion team, fans up there will feel like we do before the start of each season. There's something special about opening day in baseball that the other sports can't reach. And then we have the Texans getting ready for the draft, coming off the league meetings and the rules changes. So very exciting times in Houston.
Well, and you know, you mentioned that we're obviously having some fun here in Nashville with the run the Predators are on, the hype around the Titans with what they've done in free agency and getting ready for the draft. Can you remember a time in your career, whether it's Houston or somewhere else, that, you know, for seeing from afar of just a run by a team like Predators are on with an 18-game point streak and just the buzz around it right now?
I think it all started on the road, didn't it? Didn't
oh, yeah.
Five in a row
yeah.
on the road. That's amazing. Winning home is one thing, but when you play as well as they have on the road and you start a streak like that on the road, it's pretty incredible. Titans got to make a lot of positive moves to keep up with the Predators, right?
Yeah, and well, they're working on it right now with when it comes to free agency. I'll start with that. What do you think of the trade for L'Jarius Sneed and him going from Kansas City to Tennessee?
Well, first of all, they had the money. You know, Rand Carthon went into free agency, I think, of around $80 million, and so he took advantage of it. I was looking the other day. It looks like he's got six sure starters new, not even counting the draft. Now, everybody's trying to wonder, will he take Joe Alt, the best offensive lineman in the draft? And I'm guessing he will, although I don't know, over a playmaking receiver. Receivers come in all rounds. It's like the Texans. Nico Collins was great last year. Tank Dell, great till he got hurt. Both third-round picks. A lot of fans here said, oh, the Texans got to have a receiver in the second round. No, they don't. I'm writing a column right now for HoustonTexans.com about why they do not need to do that. They need to get a defensive tackle and a cornerback in the second round. And what makes the draft so exciting is when you don't have to have something. And there will also be a possibility, say, quarterbacks go the first three. Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to Arizona. And then teams want to trade up for J.J. McCarthy. And there's a lot of talent early in the draft, no matter what the position is. So Cardinals going to have options, and that's more exciting for the fans and the media. And getting Snead for what they did was almost like a steal. He should be arrested for theft, because it's one thing to pay the money. He got the money. He's still not, I don't think, among the top five corners. And if you look at what he's done, and they knew they were probably going to keep Chris Jones. And I read a deep dive into the Chiefs, and they've been preparing to lose Snead. So they've been drafting corners the last 2 years, hoping to have somebody ready for when he was traded or left in free agency. And I guess they got what they wanted, but it just seems like a very, very cheap price to pay for a guy who played as well as he did last year and is still young.
We're talking to John McClain this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. And, John, you know, it's funny. We see the runs from years past on defensive linemen, interior linemen, wide receivers. Now this big run on cornerbacks. I know the answer, but I want to hear from you. Why now the paying and the run on these cornerbacks in the National Football League at a level, John, we've never seen before?
If you go back to, okay, what's the most important position? Quarterback. Who protects him? It's always the left tackle, the blind side. Right tackles are making more money, but the left tackles are still the most valuable. Okay, who catches the ball? Wide receivers. Well, the defensive ends were the highest paid linemen. Now, if you can get a tackle who can penetrate and get to the quarterback for the shortest path up the middle, they become more valuable. Then cornerbacks got to cover those receivers. And then safeties, running backs, linebackers, they're not as important as they used to be. And I think the more emphasis you see on wide receivers, the more you're going to see on corners. But it's got to start up front with the linemen.
Exactly. Chase and I had a discussion last week, John, about have the Titans done enough to help out Will Levis? I say yes from an offensive standpoint. Of course, you can talk overall team. They still got things they need to do on defense. But offensive-wise, John, I mean, with Pollard and Ridley and they brought back NWI, have they, in your mind, done enough to help Will Levis going forward?
Well, I think they have. Cushenberry was a great addition, and I think they're going to – well, I think we'd all be surprised if they took a defensive player with their first pick, even if they stay where they are, they trade down a little bit, because when you want to find out if you have a franchise quarterback, you got to give him the weapons that he can utilize. And you all hope injuries, of course, tell the tale with so many teams. But right now, Pollard, I think, with Spears, Pollard's not a guy who's going to be the guy all the time. He needs to be in the rotation like he was with Zeke Elliott when he rushed for over 5 yards of carry. Now, the best thing about Pollard, last year he was coming off a torn ACL, and so he didn't play as well. People thought, oh, well, he's not the same without Zeke. I can't tell you, in my 47 years of covering the NFL, how many times I've seen it's the second year back from a torn ACL before you see a guy be all the way back. A lot of that is mental, and they don't know it. It just is. There are exceptions, of course, but by and large, that's the way it is, and that's why we expect Tony Pollard to be better with the Titans this year than he was with the Cowboys last year.
We're talking to John McClain from Houston, and when people look at what the Titans are doing right now around here, you know, obviously there's a lot of excitement because I call it they've taken some big swings when it comes to free agency and haven't even gotten to the draft yet. And a few people have referenced, well, look at what Houston did last year. Nobody thought they were going to be anything. Obviously, C.J. Stroud had everything to do with that. But do you feel like that there is kind of that sense maybe that – and maybe it's a false sense, maybe it's true, who knows – when it comes to the Titans, that they've done so much, they've revamped this roster, that maybe they're going to be a lot better than people think?
Well, I think the difference is people are starting to think they're going to be a lot better. And right. As far as the Texans, nobody had any idea what they were going to do. At least you've seen Will Levis in the NFL. He's been up, he's been down like most rookie quarterbacks are. I picked the Texans to win 6 games last year when they started 0-2. Losing to Baltimore and Indianapolis, I'm like, oh, man, I should have picked them to win 4, one more than the previous year. And then they got on a roll, and Stroud started playing better and better. And it was obvious they had a really good head coach in DeMeco Ryans, who called the defenses, and Bobby Slowick, their offensive coordinator, in his first year as a play caller. He did a tremendous job, but they had a lot of guys step up and play better than they had. And on defense, it was because DeMeco Ryans, he doesn't just want defensive tackles. He has specific things he wants out of the left tackle, the right tackle, the left end, the right end. And he was able to get it out of them. It was like he put them in a better situation than they had been. And Brian Callahan, and we talk about this every week when I'm on, you can't overemphasize the value his dad is going to have on the offense. Not just the offensive line, but the offense, because it all starts up front. And when you can say you've got one of the best ever and that he can control so much, you know, if the running game is good and Levis is able to compete a high percentage, they're going to move the ball. So you're going to help the defense stay fresh. And that impact they're going to have as coaches on offense, and starting with Brian Callahan, of course, is going to be impactful. And so if they're going to be a surprise team like the Texans, nobody picked the Texans anything but last in the AFC South. Everybody picked Jacksonville to repeat. And when you play that first-place schedule, after you play the last-place schedule, it's huge. The Texans, I've seen the over-under at 9.5, and people are over here like, oh, my God, what's wrong with them? And I said, well, they're playing 5 division champions, 11 games against teams with winning records, and a murderer's row of quarterbacks. That's what's wrong with them. And so the Titans are in a great position right now because they finished last. The division is better, and they're going to be one of the reasons the division is better. I think it's going to be, even though it's going to be tough to watch without Derrick Henry because he's made such a difference for the franchise and people be excited to watch him in Baltimore. I know people up there are pumped. I've had so many of my friends text me and email me about how pumped they are. Some point you got to pump the brakes, and everybody's going to use Houston as an example, and maybe that's what it'll be. It all starts at quarterback.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, here on this Wednesday, continuing our conversation with John McClain down in Houston. John, the owners' meeting's going on in Orlando right now, and some rule changes coming out, including the kickoff rule. What's kind of your take on changing the kickoffs, at least for this year, and do you think it's going to work?
They put it in on a one-year experimental basis. When you do that, compared to if you put it in on a permanent basis, if you don't want it, it requires fewer votes. And so I think it's great. Now, coaches are all out looking at XFL because that's what the XFL did. And I never paid any attention to the XFL or the USFL or any of those L's, and except the NFL, of course. And I can't wait to see what they're going to come up with, because it's really weird to think if you kick the ball in or out of the end zone, because they said that the taking the fun out of the game, especially I think it was Giants owner John Mayer Jr. said, Super Bowl starting off with a kick out of the end zone, there couldn't be anything less exciting. So you're going to open it up to more reverses, backward passes. You're going to see fewer collisions. And it's going to be weird to see only three guys, the kicker and the two returners, who can move before the ball is caught. And having two returners back there, I think we're going to see a lot. Instead of one charging up the field with the other blocking, they'll run toward each other and hand the ball off or fake a handoff to try to draw the cover team off to one direction. And I think it's going to be exciting. But as all rule changes are made, they're all to help the offense, all go against the defense. That's to get better field position. You know, everything when it comes to like the hip drop tackle, I'd never heard that term used till a year ago. And everything is done to increase scoring because they know the fans and the consumers love scoring. They don't want a pitcher's duel. You know, we want a high-scoring game, and scoring was down last year. And if they see something that they think needs to be changed, they'll do it. I think this rule, it's going to be very exciting. Some special team coaches will do a better job than others, which is usually the case, but it's going to be weird to see it for the first time.
I totally agree. John, this all talk around Caleb Williams, you know, a generational talent. You've covered football long enough. You know all this talk is just garbage. Are they setting this young man up for failure? Because how in the hell can he live up to what everybody thinks about him right now? Because he hasn't played a down in the National Football League.
Well, how could Bryce Young last year? That's the way it is anytime a quarterback is taken first overall. Now, I watched a lot of Bryce Young's games at Alabama, and only because I thought the Texans were going to get him. And the only question, of course, was his size. You know, Caleb Williams is probably 6'1", but he was working with great offensive coaches, and he's going to a difficult place to throw the ball. But it's difficult to throw it in Buffalo. You got to have a quarterback in Buffalo that's got a strong arm. It's difficult to throw in New Jersey, and, of course, in New England it can be done. And I know he will go to Chicago and be the first pick. They've tried to get weapons up there to put around him, but he's going to struggle because most rookies do. C.J. Stroud been an exception, but he had great coaching. And I'm not sure what kind of coaching Caleb Williams will have at this point.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is you kind of feel bad for the guy now because they're building him up to be the next big thing. You talk about that with quarterbacks, John, with Bryce Young. I mean, you well remember the Ryan Leaf debate in 1998 with Peyton Manning. I mean, to his success, if he goes to Chicago and you see what's going on, do you think he ends up in Chicago? You think they trade out of that? How do you think that
definitely going to Chicago. That's a done deal. And I think the Bears haven't had a prolific quarterback. This sounds weird, since Sid Luckman, who used to take the bus to the game and then go home on the train, and they just don't. People say, well, Jim McMahon was not a great quarterback.
Right.
He was a great winner. And they just don't have prolific passers there. And one of the reasons, just like Cleveland hadn't had a 4,000-yard passer since 1980. Bernie Kosar came close. Because their stadiums are on the water and they get wind. Not just bad weather in the winter, but they get wind in September, and that wind can just be unbelievable. And so the quarterbacks doesn't have to have a strong arm like Buffalo, but, man, you got to be able to run the ball. That's why Cleveland always has a good running game, and Chicago better make sure it has one to take pressure off a rookie quarterback who's going to be under a lot of pressure. And he hasn't been helped by his daddy trying to find an agent who can help him get out of find something in the collective bargaining agreement that allows his son to pick his team. And now Deion's talking about that next year. Give me a break. And Caleb Williams is going to be under the gun the entire time, first time he steps on the field. And that's the way it is when you're a quarterback picked high. Until right before the draft, the Colts had not decided to take Manning over Leaf in 98. Now, Bill Polian can say, oh, we knew all along we were going to take Manning. No, they didn't. I was there. I was there when he drafted. I was covering the NFL and wrote a lot about it. And, of course, they made the right decision, and Leaf turned out to be the biggest bust in NFL history.
Yep, and I'm sure people might be thinking that Caleb Williams could be that too, so who knows. But, John, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week.
Chase Dill, thank you guys very much, as always.
Absolutely. John McClain joining us from Houston, as he does every Wednesday at 9:30. We'll continue the discussion and get back into the Predators. Eli Gold going to join us at 10:30 in hour number two on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.